complete recap of today's game as we check in with all the top players of today's game and more.
As we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
The Falcons flyover is on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Ah, yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome on in to the Falcons flyover on a chilly, gloomy, not-so-victory Monday morning. It is Chris Thomas Turtle with you for the next 90 minutes until 3 a.m. Let's go, Atlanta, 404-726-0929. Everybody's getting it tonight. Coaching? Let them have it. Running game? Let them have it. Critical decision-making? Let them have it. Michael Penix, unfortunately, got to let him have it. And most importantly, we were sort of like, this guy's been pretty solid. He's been good. He hasn't given up the catastrophic plays filling in for Caleb McGarry. Well, tonight, Elijah Wilkinson had about as bad of a game as an Atlanta Falcon offensive lineman has had in recent memory. And all that with being Jake Matthews playing in a boot, Das Boot. And that is fitting because I was in Helen this weekend for Oktoberfest. But those were happy memories. These are not. Let's talk, Atlanta. I'm here for the next 90 minutes to take your calls. And here's where I want to start. And again, you know how this works on the flyover. If it's a game like this, again, everybody and everything can be taken to task. Zach Robinson, where was that magic? Where was that magic when you were coming down to the field? Nowhere to be found tonight. 10 points against the banged up San Francisco 49ers defense. No Nick Bosa, no Fred Warner. No problem. Kept your behinds in check all night long, didn't they? And at the end, Penix is banged up and bruised. Raheem Morris, no official injury update on him. Now we got to worry about that. Divine Diablo's in a sling after the game with a forearm injury. That sounds bad. Got to worry about that. It's not good, folks. And we talked about this on Chris Thomas tonight, weeknight 6 to 10 here on the game. Consistency. That was the word. You all who listen to my show regularly, and I thank each and every one of you that you do, should be nauseous at that word by now, by how much we talk about it on my show and on this show. But you know what? It reared its freaking ugly head again tonight. This is the most frustrating and inconsistent team in the NFL. You know, it's funny. Actually, when I was driving home, so I did, first of all, one positive to take away from the night. If y'all were there, thank you. I had an amazing time at Paradise Grill in Marietta. Met so many amazing listeners. Special shout out to Parker and his mom who came, and he brought me a custom-made Turtle Chris Thomas Tonight poster, which he made for me, which is amazing. You could check it out on my Twitter, at C Thomas Radio. So that was the highlight of the night. But when I was driving home in the Uber to get back to Midtown, for the first, like, 10 minutes of the ride, I was out of range, for whatever reason, of 92.9 The Game's local broadcast coverage, trying to listen to Wes and Dave. So I was syncing it up, and I was trying to find it, and I was trying to get it on TV, and I couldn't. And then when I got back home to turn on the game, it was just in time to watch that disgusting effort in the fourth quarter. That miserable, disgusting effort in the fourth quarter where absolutely nothing went right. This game was an unmitigated disaster, and we talked about it all week on the show. Consistency. And to finish up the point, I was listening to our national sister station, the Infinity Sports Network, and the host, Jody McDonald, who was on, obviously, counter to the Falcons, was talking about how he feels like the Falcons are the hardest team to read in the NFL because of how damn inconsistent they are. So now it's not just here in Atlanta, folks. Guess what? Cat's out of the bag. I heard it on national radio as I was driving home. getting updates on the game. Secrets out. Our dirty little secrets out. Mismanaged. Minimal effort. I heard Mike Johnson and Grant say it on the post games. Look, you just look lethargic, sloppy, ill-prepared. And you let Christian McCaffrey, the one player you needed to stop, have the game of his life. I mean, he got whatever he wanted on the ground and through the air. He was playing like the MVP that he is. He took what Bijan Robinson did last week and snatched it right out of the air and said, "Hold my beer, Bijan. I'm going to remind the entire NFL that with Mac Jones and an ailing George Kittle fresh off the IR and no wide receivers to speak of, a banged up Juwan Jennings, no Ricky Pearsall, no Ayuk, and they gutted you on defense. Gutted you in the run game. McCaffrey got whatever he wanted on the ground and through the air. This game was an embarrassment, and this game was so predictable. That's the worst part about it. This game, y'all, was so freaking predictable. I talked about it all week on Chris Thomas tonight. I said, you know, the past 7 years with this playoff drought, the Falcons lose this game every time. As soon as they start to build momentum, you slip slide right back to reality. And I said on the show this week, I picked them to win the game outright. I said, you know what? This year, it's different because the defense is going to do the job that they need to do. And for the most part, they did. Christian McCaffrey gutted you. He had a career day. But they only scored 20 points. If you hold an opposition, and for the most part of the game, it was 13 points. You need to win the game. Come on, man. The offense was pathetic. There's no excuse. Bryce Huff made Elijah Wilkinson look like a college player. That was embarrassing what he did. Now, Bryce Huff is a good player. He's a borderline great player. But he whipped Elijah Wilkinson, who also had penalties in the game. It was just all around just a putrid performance. The defense, again, in terms of scoring, yeah, for the most part, they did their job. But when you were watching the game state, when you were watching the game flow, as they like to say, this thing wasn't close. 49ers at the half, guess what? Doubled the yardage output of the Falcons. Oh, what happened to that career day that the Falcons had last week against the Bills? That's the definition of an inconsistent team. Textbook definition. This team is inconsistent. This team is poorly coached. And this team has a long way to go. Now at 3-3 if they want to break the playoff drought this season. So line them up. Here we go. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. Got producer Sonny with me. He's going to take your calls. I'm here until 3 o'clock. Anybody and everybody is on the table to get the blame tonight. Whoever you feel like deserves it, let's talk. 404-726-0929. It's Chris Thomas Turtle. Just getting started with you here on a very somber Monday morning edition of the Falcons Flyover.
And the final snap of the game, and the ball game is over.
Talking about today's game here
on the Falcons Flyover.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, maybe I should have listened to all y'all that called in this week and told me, slow your horses, Turtle. I know. Y'all were right. I was gassing up the horse a little too much. We got to woo Nelly and bring it on back to the stable. The Falcons aren't ready yet, guys. That's really what it comes down to. So we're taking your calls at 404-726-0929. This team's not ready. They're too inconsistent. It's a plague. It's a roller coaster ride every week. We can't trust this team. Which team is going to show up? I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine, man. So let's see what y'all have to say. 404-726-0929. Marion's in Savannah. Lead us off.
Yeah, hey, I agree with you. This team is way too inconsistent. One week we're doing good. The next week we like, man, we ain't showing up for nothing. But I want to blame Raheem Morris. We could have won that game if Raheem Morris would have kicked that ball on 4th and 1 in the fourth quarter. We had enough time to get back on defense and get a couple of stops. But because of his ego, he decides, I'm going to go for it on 4th and 1, and he blew it. I blame Raheem Morris.
Well, Marion, not only did he go for it, he threw the ball instead of running it with Tyler Allgeier.
And also, he decided that he's going to pop the ball on 4th and 1 on the first drive in the first quarter. Instead of you going for it then, you decide, oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just put the ball. So, again, this right here is on Raheem Morris, and this is on the offensive coordinator with those screen passes that he keeps doing. I don't know what he's doing. Zach Robinson is going to be out of here at the end of the year. He's gone.
He's got to go.
Get him out of here.
Yeah.
Let him go down to Oklahoma State and go coach them with that little offense that he's running. Man, that game was wonderful, and both of those two guys blew it. They blew it.
No, Marion, you're right, and I appreciate the phone call. Good stuff leading off at 404-726-0929. Guys, we have a coaching issue. Marion's right. We just do. Raheem Morris, like, we can only extend the olive branch so far, right? Like, with the way this team is inconsistent, his decision-making and in-game coaching ability, with he and his staff being a connected unit, no. It's just not there, y'all. Not on a week-to-week basis. It's too dang scattershot. What, as Marion said, to his astute point, one week it shows up, the next week it doesn't. One week you beat the Vikings on Sunday Night Football, the next week you get trounced 30-0 by Carolina. It's embarrassing, y'all. Tonight should not have happened. Coaching errors. Offensive line was terrible. Running backs couldn't get going. Tyler Allgeier, again, had 4 carries. That's not the recipe for winning games. David's in Tucker. David, go ahead.
Yes, a few points here. I think a couple of play calls on they tried to give away the game on that last pass call against Buffalo that should have been intercepted. The pass play should never have been called. And as you point out, the 4th and short pass play that turned the ball over and tonight, that was a mistake. And also, the Carolina game indicated this is as low as the team can go. Good teams don't go that low against a very modest opponent. And when that happened, I realized this team is a psychologically erratic, fragile team. And since Morris has been there, I think it means that the team reflects the coach, and the Peter principle has applied. Morris is extremely well-liked, and he's done a lot of work in the NFL at assistant coaching positions, but I think he's really reached a point where he can't go to the mountaintop. He's was good at a point, and now he's not shown anything in his head coaching positions as an interim coach or as a permanent coach. And I think I like a lot of the assistant coaches, but Morris just strikes me as a situation where the team has to succeed in spite of him, not because of him, and you don't want to have a head coach of that nature.
No, David, it's a great point, and you're certainly starting to feel that way, right, Falcons fans? Right? You're starting to feel like you're winning in the success, and David, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. Despite Raheem Morris's best efforts sometimes, the team still has success. I mean, there have been clock management, timeout, situational awareness. Those errors pop up every single week, and it hasn't been fixed. And Arthur Blank, we talked about it all offseason. Arthur Blank, the owner of the team, comes out with a mission statement. We need to clean up those types of mistakes. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Blank, not only have they not been cleaned up, but they continue to haunt this team week in and week out. Dan is in Lawrenceville. Dan, go ahead.
Yeah, I just got to make this comment. You know, everybody's upset about, and they should be, about the fourth down play call and the screen pass instead of running the ball. But there's two things I don't understand. Is number seven's on the bench, but let's go back to last week. Do you remember when they had fourth down and a half a football or fourth down a yard? They had a great play. They would bring in a guy behind the center. I guess it was a tight end or another play.
Yeah, and it was Felipe Franks.
Okay, where was that play tonight? Where was that play? Where was it? Why wasn't it called? It's just exasperating. But that offensive coordinator's got to go. I have no confidence in him at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It looked like it worked for a couple of weeks with Zach Robinson on the sidelines, and now it looks like that turned right back into a pumpkin. I mean, really, it's unbelievable how the script just continues to write itself. We literally talked about it on the show this week, how this is a game they lose over and over and over again. You get the highs of taking down Washington, the highs of taking down a Super Bowl favorite and the MVP, and then you go to a team that's as beat up as any team in the NFL, and you absolutely fall completely flat on your face on primetime. And now everybody who watched you on Monday night is like, wait, is this the same team that I just saw beat up the Buffalo Bills? This is the same team? Yeah, unfortunately it is. It's an inconsistent, mediocre football team right now. And that's what this team is until they prove us otherwise. Deion's in Houston. Deion.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
What's up, Deion?
Hey, man, let me tell you something. I can't judge Raheem Morris right now. The biggest mistake I've seen him make is his assistant, his coordinators are bad. Offensively, they're bad. The defensive coordinator is bad. Until he gets hired the right coordinators, Morris will never have success, in my opinion. And also, another thing the Falcons, they need to do before at the trade deadline, go get a competent second receiver. These two receivers that they had, the second and third receivers, are bad.
Yeah, Deion.
All I have for you.
No, I appreciate it, man. Couple of things. Ulbrich, he's been mostly good. Again, tonight they still, yes, McCaffrey had 129 yards and two touchdowns on the ground, and then he had another seven receptions for 72 yards in the air. He absolutely gutted you. But other than that, nobody did anything. Mac Jones didn't have a good game. He was 17 of 26 for 152 yards and an interception. Deion, I don't think it's Ulbrich as much as it is Robinson and Morris. I think Jeff Ulbrich is on a pretty clear path to turning this defense around for good. Was it a perfect performance? No, not by any stretch. But again, when you have the number one ranked offense in the NFL coming into the game and you only give up 20 and it was really 13 for the overwhelming majority of the game, you need to win the bleeping game. Sorry. That's just what it comes down to. Sorry, Zach. Sorry, Raheem. That's just what it comes down to. Xavier is in Gwinnett. Let's go.
What's up, Turtle?
What up?
To me, this is not really too surprising. I mean, I'm still kind of sad because we lost the game. But with the Falcons, sometimes you got to put some things to context. Like, of course, we look good the past couple of weeks because we played against some really bad defenses. Like, even when we look bad now, Washington defense, if you've seen that defense today, that was awful. The Bills is great because of Josh Allen, but their defense was always bad. When you go up against a good defense, it's a pretty simple game plan. If we can stop Bijan and just stop Dre London's out routes, because that's like the only route he sees to run, then we'll be in good shape. And that's all you have to do when you go against a good defensive coordinator who has some decent athletes. And that's what it was. They didn't even have any superstars on defense. Hey, just be here at this time, and we'll be in good hands. That's why I say we need at least one more weapon. Give me one more weapon we could have a deep threat with, and Pennants can use their arm to go down the field, and then we'll be fine.
No, I appreciate it, Xavier. Thanks for checking in, as always. But here's the problem, Xavier. Bryce Huff turned into Jerome Brown. I mean, what happened? I mean, Elijah Wilkinson forgot how to play football tonight, man. That was an embarrassment. What happened to him? He got beat one-on-one over and over and over and over again. And then even when they put help out there, Huff was still getting after him. Bryce Huff is a really good player. He's not, you know, TJ Watt. He's not Miles Garrett. He certainly played like it tonight. All right, more of your calls when we get back. Let's keep it rolling. 404-726-0929. Everyone and anyone is on the table to be blamed tonight. Pick your poison. Coaching, offense, quarterback, offensive line. Just an awful, embarrassing loss after gaining so much momentum the last couple of weeks. And here we are, back to square one yet again. It's the Falcons flyover.
Win on three, one, two, three. Let's go.
Taking a look back at today's game with Falcons flyover, presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Just an utterly embarrassing night in Santa Clara for the Dirty Birds. Got out hustled, got out worked, you certainly got out coached. It's Chris Thomas Turtle on the flyover for another hour. Taking your calls, going to get right back to him at 404-726-0929. This game is just such a shame. This team isn't ready. They're just not ready. Like, I don't know how else to put it more succinctly. This team is not yet ready for the prime time. They haven't shown it. When have they shown it? They give you glimpses, they give you hope, and then just like all the callers were telling me during the week, slow your roll, Turtle. Just wait. The other shoe will drop. And right on cue. Y'all were telling me, and I was like, nah, man, but the defense. And then the defense goes out, and they're fine. McCaffrey has a huge day, but nobody else does anything. And you're just sitting there like, dang. The offense really put up 10 points? Penix looked awful. Bijan looked normal. That was something else. Just not good. And the coaching decisions are so bad. Again, going forward on fourth and one with a pass instead of running Algier to get a yard, not kicking the field goal. I mean, what are we doing? Just unbelievable. Skip's indicator. Skip, go ahead.
What's going on, Turtle? How you doing, man?
Been better, Skip.
Hey, man. Well, you know, man, well, it was a couple of things that I saw tonight, man, that was not Falcons coaching style. The main thing, the number one thing that made me upset, I threw the remote control and broke the remote control, was that all season long, you've been rushing four men. That play right before the touchdown, why in the heck you rush three? You don't have the manpower or the beast to run three. That, if we'd have just stuck to our four, a rush, a blitz right there, we probably would have held them to a field goal. Instead, you're trying to play every man, go eight deep, and they still found a way to catch the ball to McCaffrey and get a first down. Why did you run three? Number two. You're right, man. We should fourth and one. You got my boy in there. You should have ran. Number three. This is something that I said. I stopped the batteries and put the battery back in and had to rethrow the remote control again. You saw that my boy Penix was hurt. You saw that Cousins was ready to come in. You should have pulled him right there. Cause those erratic throws on that last drive was because he couldn't plant his leg. The dude was hurt before then when he hit, when his finger got stuck in the dude's head, and when they couldn't tell whether it was a fumble or a throw. He was pulling his hand in. Then you saw him limping. You should have said, okay, he's not a veteran. He's a veteran can have the, you know, can go out there and say, okay, you're a veteran, you're going to shake it off. He's still a rookie. He can't shake that off. And it shows you should have put Cousins in for that last drive after that first throw and say, you can't throw it. Cousins, you go in there. At least Cousins could have went down the field, it probably would have made a difference, but it would say, okay, you coached a little bit. You saw your player were hurt. Now we got to go into next week not knowing I think he hurt. And one more thing, man, when Diablo went out, that hurt us bad. Boy, that hurt us bad when Diablo went out.
Yeah, Bertrand was awful.
Bertrand
was awful. There's no other.
Yeah, Tech is a turtle, but that's my take on it.
Appreciate
man.
You, man.
We put three.
Thank you.
All right, man.
Appreciate you. Yeah, it's a great call. Man, Skip is right. JD Bertrand looked lost. I don't know why. He looked pretty good last year. Maybe because his role wasn't as important. I don't really know, but yeah, he looked lost. And Penix, listen, I think at that point the game was already over. I hate to say it. It just, they weren't coming back. We all felt it, right? I mean, to Skip's point, yeah, maybe Cousins comes in and can do what he did against the Eagles last year, but I felt like that game was over. They were pathetic, man. I hate to use such strong language against the football team that just beat the Buffalo Bills. But to come back and do that again after beating Washington, after beating Buffalo, beating Minnesota in primetime, to just go from one extreme to the other, it's nauseating, really. It's like being on one of those swing rides at the carnival where it goes all the way up and then it goes all the way back down. To be on that ride every single week, it gives you a freaking headache, man. Edwards in Jonesboro. Edward.
Hey, so very disappointed loss tonight, but when you look at the game, this is what was crazy to me. Playing football on a foot high school, the defensive captain always supposed to count the players on the field. I don't understand why we had 10 people out playing. And the defensive captain, whoever called defensive plays, didn't count the players on the field. The second thing that really bothered me tonight was that fourth and one. I did not understand for the life of me, why are you trying to do some type of trickery when all you got to do is run the ball up the gut and get the first down? Zach is just not it. I think Raheem need to get another OC, somebody who is somewhat kind of old school, not trying to do all this trickery and just run the football. They should have kept the same game plan they had against Buffalo and make San Francisco make adjustments. And I just don't – next week we play Miami, I wouldn't be surprised if we lose that game. Because it seems like we just, technique-wise, we just not there.
Well, Edward, isn't that the saddest part, that you look at a team like Miami that's 1-6, and you look at the Falcons and everything they have accomplished this year, and right now we're at a point after this game where, like, yeah, they could lose it. That's the saddest part for me.
Let me ask you a question before I go. After that fourth and one, I'll be honest with you, I just cut the game off.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is ridiculous.
I wish I could have, too, trust me.
Do you think the guy said Penix was hurt? Do you think that there's gonna be a stop by Cousins next week? Do you think that Cousins will play next week, or do you think Raheem is gonna go back with Penix?
Well, Edward, I'll tell you this, and I appreciate the phone call, and you hit on a couple of things I want to touch on. I'll touch on Penix first. If Michael Penix Jr. is healthy, he's going to play quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. And when I mean healthy, I mean healthy enough to play, period. Kirk Cousins is an emergency option only. And that was dictated from high on above way before this season ever got started. We know the deal. This is Penix's team, and we know how fragile the situation is. So, Edward, I would be shocked if anybody but Penix starts, unless we find out tomorrow or Tuesday that he's dealing with a legitimate diagnosed injury. But if he's just sore, if he's just bumps and bruises on his finger and on his leg, then I think he'll play. But if it's a legit injury, that's the only reason Kirk Cousins would see the field. And the other thing too is, Edward, how about not only, when was the last time a team in the same game got two penalties on offense and defense, one for having too few men on the field and the other for having too many men on the field? It's unbelievable. It's amateur hour. That's what we're saying. Raheem and Zach and Jeff, like, guys, like, this is not it. They are not ready yet. Wayne is in Gwinnett. Wayne.
What's up, Turtle, man? How you doing, man?
Been better, Wayne. How about you?
Man, it's so rough, man. I've been up all night now. I'm working right now. But, man, it's with all that, all the callers been right. But, man, it's still like three plays we could have made, maybe would have changed the game. Right before halftime, when Michael made that penalty, it's like they got to be more situational. Call a different play, make it a quicker pass instead of letting him sit back in the pocket waiting. And maybe, you know, we have enough time to kick the field goal. That's one play. Another play, it was third down and like 12 or 14. Why are we trying to get the first? They should have just tried to get 7 to 8 more yards, and we could have kicked another field goal. And then the fourth and one. Run the ball, man. Come on. Like, the coaching is just so insane. Why can't we do what other teams do? It just makes me sick, man. And I'm going to just leave it to all the other callers, man, because you can go on and on and on. But, man, I love my Falcons. Hopefully we get it back on track, and that's all I got, Turtle, man. You take it from here, man.
Appreciate it, Wayne. Thanks for checking in, dude. You're right. It's so frustrating because we see the talent. What happened over the course of the last 6 days? Where was that Bijan Robinson? Was he tired? Where was that Michael Penix Jr.? Was he tired? Where was that Drake London? Was he tired? Was he hurt? I mean, come on, man. We saw this team absolutely dominate the Bills a week ago. It's crazy how this team just fluctuates week in and week out. There's nothing consistent about the Atlanta Falcons except for the fact that they're freaking inconsistent. That's the craziest part about it. It really is unbelievable that from 1 week to another, from Minnesota to Carolina, then from Buffalo to San Francisco, just the swings. Again, it's like being on that ride at the carnival where it's the dragon and it goes from one side to the other and back to the other. And by the end of it, you're ready to lose your lunch. That's what it's like watching the Atlanta Falcons right now on a week-in, week-out basis. Again, if you missed it, when I was driving home in the Uber from Paradise Grill at the watch party back to my apartment to finish the game, I was checking in on a national radio show, and the host at the time was talking about how he feels the Falcons are the most inconsistent and hard-to-diagnose team in the entire NFL. So, guys, again, I said it to start the show. Cat's out of the bag. Everybody knows what the Atlanta Falcons are, and more specifically, what they're not. And what they're not right now is a playoff team. We asked you the question last week, riding off the high on Chris Thomas tonight, if you think this team is a playoff team. I did. I was wrong. Because, again, these are the sorts of things that get absolutely exposed by good teams. Good teams don't make those mistakes. Good teams don't have those clock management errors. Don't have those too many men, too little men on the field errors. Don't have their quarterback unable to make accurate decisions because his right tackle is getting as beaten, whooped up on a one-on-one matchup as I've ever seen. Bryce Huff made Elijah Wilkinson look like a college player, high school player. It was so bad. It really was utterly embarrassing. All right, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Got a couple more segments to take your calls, so make sure you get in and we can chat, we can vent. I'm here. Again, anything goes on a night like tonight, everything goes. You want to blame the coaching? Blame the coaching. You want to blame the running backs? Blame the running backs. You want to blame the line? Blame the line. You want to blame the defense for situational failures, even though the overall performance wasn't terrible outside of McCaffrey? I mean, literally, looking at the box score, nobody did anything. Again, Mac Jones, 17 of 26 for a 150 and an interception. Brian Robinson, 9 carries for 36 yards. Juwan Jennings, 4 catches, 31 yards. Kendrick Bourne, who'd been really coming on, 2 catches for 14 yards. The Falcons defense did the one thing they couldn't do, which is let, you know, the guy who's tit for tat with Bijan Robinson is the best running back in football this season beat you. And that's exactly what he did. He beat you single-handedly. John's in Union City. John.
Turtle.
What's up, John?
you remember I called you last Wednesday and you were asking, where were you ready for prime time? We were a pretty playoff team.
I thought we were, John.
I told you that we were suffering from PTSD. Remember that?
I remember, yep.
I've just been set back 2 years on my therapy.
No, you're right, man.
We wallowed around in mud. We just wallowed around in mud. And I can't blame the defense. I can't say anything negative about the defense because they, yardage-wise and point-wise, they kept them within range for three quarters. All right? But your offensive coordinator, is it that the Falcons can't play outside? Did we have jet lag? I just can't explain this. And then for the second time that we played an outside game in a row, the first one was the Carolina game, the middle of the field is wide open. Everybody's talking about the middle of the field being wide open because we're not running any type of patterns just beyond the line of scrimmage, running back coming out of the backfield, coming into the middle of the field, catching a pass, nothing. I mean, all of our routes were too long. The line was giving Penix at least 3.5 to 4 seconds to make a decision, and then the line suddenly would collapse. That is the problem. Your offensive coordinator, I've got plays on this on Madden 98, okay, 2 decades ago, that are better than what my offensive coordinator is calling out there. And you're getting your quarterback killed for no reason at all. It's the patterns that you're running. They're too long. And you're going against Robert Saleh, all right, a proven defensive person. Don't you think that they were looking at all of the things that Bijan was doing? As a matter of fact, San Francisco's offense mirrors ours. Their defense mirrors ours. Why? I mean, that's the difference between a professional and a rookie learning on the job. Because that's all Zach Robinson is doing, is learning on the job. That's
well,
why
John,
I cannot...
you know what the funny thing is, too? It's like it's not only that about Robert Saleh and what he was able to do, but that's the equivalent of the Falcons not having Caden Ellis and Jesse Bates, their two best defensive players, because the 49ers didn't have Bosa or Warner.
Right, right. But see, the thing is that, okay, even though they didn't, your offense is supposed to help your defense out. Okay, what is the term? Complementary football?
Yep.
I mean, give your defense some points to defend. I mean, it was just ineptitude, total and complete disrespectful ineptitude out there on the field tonight. On Sunday night football, all right? Now, I'm embarrassed because of the fact that, okay, we held these people to 24 points. They had a rookie quarterback out there or a Mac Jones that New England had thrown away. Kyle Shanahan, once again, is turning a junk. You know, he'll go get something off of the doggone scrap heap and make it serviceable. Now, that's what I'm expecting out of my offensive coordinator, my quarterback coach, my offensive people, because there's a lot at stake this year. There's a lot at stake this year. Now, I know Arthur Blank is not going to pay two coaches to sit on the sidelines after he's fired them and then hire another one. So Raheem Morris's job is reasonably safe. But good grief, man, this offensive coordinator is going to get somebody not only fired, they're going to get some players hurt with these crazy, man, with these anti-football plays. That's what it looks like, just anti-football plays, just dumb, stupid.
No, John, appreciate it. Love the passion. And listen, I agree with everything you said. I mean, you are 100% right. You actually gave the 49ers too much credit. They only scored 20, John. They didn't even score 24. Still not enough for the Falcons. 10 points. Embarrassing, ridiculous, and just utterly unacceptable. More time to take your calls when we get back. Jump in behind John at 404-726-0929 on an abysmal loss for the Falcons 20-10 on Sunday Night Football. Take all your goodwill and shove it.
Now more of the Falcons Flyover.
A complete recap of today's game, as we also get your take on today's game.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Our Falcons play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, recapping a real tough one with y'all. It's Chris Thomas Turtle with you until the top of the hour. Got more time to take your calls if you haven't had a chance to chime in. It's me and you for the next half hour at 404-726-0929. Had a lot of great calls tonight, a lot of passion, a lot of frustration, and rightfully so. This team did what the Falcons do. Gained some momentum, gained some positive vibes, gained some trust. I even heard some national talking heads. Pat McAfee was hyping up the Falcons after Monday Night Football. And then this happens. And then they do this. And tomorrow, all you're going to hear is, oh, what are the Falcons? I can't put heads or tails on the Falcons. Can't tell what they are. And you're right. We don't have any idea either, people. You're going to hear it on SportsCenter, and you're going to hear it on Fox and CBS and all the national shows. What happened to the Falcons? What happened to the team that beat the Bills on Monday night? I don't know. They stunk in every phase of the game. They stunk. The defense was okay scoring-wise. But again, you let the one thing happen tonight that couldn't happen. Christian McCaffrey beat you single-handedly. He was the best player on the field tonight, and it wasn't close. And yes, that includes our guy, Bijan Robinson, who had 14 carries for 40 yards. Guys, that's a 2.9 yard per carry. That's awful. Bijan Robinson had 6 catches for 52 yards and a touchdown. That's good, but not when you combine it for 14 carries for 40 yards. Not good enough, because you know what their guy did? 24 carries for 130 yards and 2 touchdowns. That's a 5.4 average. You know what that is? Hall of Fame numbers. Christian McCaffrey, 7 receptions for 72 yards. That's 10.5 average per catch. That's Hall of Fame numbers. And that was the difference in the game tonight, because your quarterback and your running back tandem couldn't do anything. And another thing. Again, the number to join is 404-726-0929. Anything you want to put on the table in terms of the blame game, I'm here to listen. Coaching, quarterback, offensive line. Can't be overstated how bad Elijah Wilkinson was tonight. We'll get back to that in a couple of minutes. Michael Penix Jr. threw the ball 38 times tonight in a game that was 20-10. That tells you every single thing that you need to know about this game plan and what happened. We said this week one after the Bucs game. I came on the air here on 92.9 The Game on Chris Thomas tonight, and I said the following. If Michael Penix Jr. has to throw it 42 times in a game, which is what he had to do in week one, that's not good. That's not a good thing. That means your game plan didn't work. The game plan is what you did last week against Buffalo. Not this. 38 times against a banged-up 49ers team in which you only scored 10 points and they only scored 20, and Penix threw it 38 times? Yikes, that's awful. That is not what he's supposed to be doing out there at all. Again, the number is 404-726-0929 if you want to jump in. Let's hear Raheem Morris. Hear from Michael Penix Jr. He did catch up with Dave Archer in the locker room. This is courtesy of the Falcons Radio Network. Again, Michael Penix Jr. Did catch up with our own Dave Archer in the locker room on the Falcons Radio Network. We'll let you hear that in just a second when it gets fired up. But I'm interested to hear what he has to say. I mean, he knows he... Talking about Michael Penix Jr. in the locker room on 92.9 The Game. Sonny, it's the full... Let's hear the full interview with Arch after the game and Michael Penix Jr. if we have that available. Yeah, that was a cut from Michael Penix Jr. That's part of the full interview. We'll let you hear that later on coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But just back to the game plan. Again, 14 carries for Bijan Robinson. 4 carries for Tyler Allgeier. 18 carries between the two running backs? That's unbelievable. How is that part of your game plan when you're going up against the San Francisco 49ers team that doesn't have Nick Bosa and it doesn't have Fred Warner? Like, I don't understand how you could get so lost in the weeds and lost in the sauce that becomes a part of your game plan to have your quarterback throw it 38 times in a ball game when that is not your identity. And again, if this game was, you know, 37-34 or even 28-24, I'd understand it a little bit more. But this game was 20-10, folks. This game was not a game in which your quarterback should be throwing it anywhere near 38 times in the game, especially when you have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier. I just don't understand how it could get that sideways with that defense. I know Robert Saleh is a good defensive coordinator, but he's missing two Hall of Fame level players. That, again, I was talking to one of the callers earlier. I'd be like saying, yeah, you know, the Falcons are without Cade Nellis and Jesse Bates, but they'll be just fine. Like, really? You think so? But tonight for the 49ers, again, 10 points for this offense? It's inexplicable. It's inexcusable. And I can't for the life of me understand how this happened, except to just say this team is not it right now. This team is not in a position to be a true contender. I mean, there's really no other way to put it. I thought they were after the Buffalo game, and I would have thought so even if they lost this game, but it was not this way, quite frankly. They got embarrassed on Sunday Night Football by a team that is just not as good as you. I mean, you would think, right? The Falcons weren't missing anybody on offense. I know Jake was banged up, but they had all their – Mooney was back, and he's just not right. I mean, Casey Washington continues to do a whole bunch of nothing. Kyle Pitts got involved early, but, you know, there was just nothing there. There was nothing to be found. Kyle Pitts led the team in receptions tonight with 7 for 62 yards. But there was no other offense to be found. I mean, Drake London didn't do anything. He had 4 catches for 42 yards after the career day that he had last week. Darnell Mooney, 3 catches for 68 yards. But there was a lot more there, y'all. There was a lot more there. I'm telling you. This offense, to go from week to week and be so wildly inconsistent, like, something's just not right. Maybe it's your quarterback has only made 9 starts in the NFL. Are we putting too much on his shoulder? I mean, again, 21 of 38 is just too much to expect from your youngster, man. Like, that to me, that's just, it's unacceptable. It really is. When you have Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier, and you run the ball 18 times for, what, 56 yards between them? I mean, that is a broken game plan. That is something on the way to grandma's house over the river and through the woods got absolutely just sabotaged. I don't know what it is. I can't pinpoint one specific thing. Again, well, maybe Elijah Wilkinson said we were going to get back to that. Again, I have not seen an individual performance from an offensive lineman that bad in a while. Bryce Huff, there's something about that matchup that is absolutely terrible for the Atlanta Falcons and Elijah Wilkinson, and it was exploited over and over and over again. Tim and Conyers is dialing in at 404-726-0929. Go ahead.
Okay, I am not an offensive line coach. I have helped him all coach his high school, and I have heard him say to the offensive line coach at that high school, And when I was helping with quarterbacks, running backs, and receivers, when the line didn't kind of do, you know, I couldn't say, coach, that line, all I had to do was kind of look at him and cut my eyes and look at him like, the line isn't kind of at times. So, you ain't know, you're not going nowhere unless your line don't go. Like, he had an old saying in high school, kind of stupid, kind of derogatory about the offensive line to the guys, but it was like, all the children on the bus don't go if the line don't go. And that kind of stuff.
No, Tim, and I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for checking in. No, you're not wrong, though. I mean, listen, the offensive line is the ignition to the engine, so to speak. And when one of the parts of the ignition is absolutely backfiring on you every time you try to start the car, you're not going to be able to run. And that was Elijah Wilkinson tonight, with Bryce Huff absolutely eating his lunch on nearly every single play. It was startling. I mean, we were cruising along with Wilkinson. He was looking good. And maybe this is just an outlier performance, but damn, did he get whooped. 404-726-0929. One more segment to take your calls. We will let you hear from Michael Penix Jr. and some others from the Falcons locker room, as well as we wrap up shop, taking you up until 3 o'clock. Again, the number 404-726-0929.
Presented by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Last call for your calls here on the Falcons Flyover, 404-726-0929. It is Chris Thomas Turtle taking you up until the top of the hour after just another gut punch of a loss, man. Like, I'm not even mad, I'm disappointed. That's just, it's like when your parents used to come in after you did something stupid. They're like, I'm not even mad, kid. I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed we're here again, right? Like, how are we here again? We thought this team finally cleared the hurdle and was on the up and up, and Penix was ascending, and Bijan, best player in football. And it's just crazy how it all comes crashing back down so swiftly. It really is. So 404-726-0929 is the number to jump in, and then we'll let you hear a little bit from the locker room as well. Varn is in Riverdale. Varn.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. You know, I think that being a longtime Falcon fan, since Dan Reed, I didn't see Dan Reed make a lot of mistakes, but I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm with you on one thing. This team is just not it. They're just not. And it seemed like our franchise, going back years, it seemed like we have the team that is right on the borderline, with the exception of Matt Ryan. Them, they had a, you know, good, very good football team. But anything else, it's like right on the borderline of maybe getting a wild card or getting to the playoff. But you know what always stops that? A mental collapse. This is something historically with the Falcons. Not the Braves and the Hawks, but the Falcons. They just cannot get people in there to do what's need to be done to win consistently. I don't know what Raheem Morris was thinking about. Let the boys run the ball. You got control of the game. You're down three. You get your touchdown. Then they got to score a touchdown. I just don't understand it either. But, I've been figured it out. And, a friend of mine always talking to, used to talk to Mark Duper, and he used to always say this. You know, a lot of times in the clubhouse, players gets into it with coaches is because it be the coach. A lot of time, it don't be people like the AJ, the Brown boy, and all them. You know, the coach just can't think. You can't think. Raheem Morris, what was y'all thinking about? That's where everything just turned around right there and just messed up. You was okay until you. That was a dumb call. Either way you look at it, that was a dumb call. You got two backs like that, and it's just been, you know, year after year. You know, we just can't find nobody who, like a Bill Belichick or somebody, who don't make those types of mistakes. You know, you already got a quarterback in there who really, to me, shouldn't be starting
while I'm paying Kirk Cousins all that money. If Kirk Cousins the Falcon quarterback now, we in the playoffs. But that's not going to happen with this team, man. I'm just frustrated. And thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, Varn, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for letting it all out there, man. They're not going to go back to Cousins, unfortunately, unless, I said it before, unless Penix is legitimately injured. And Penix has shown signs this year that he could be the man. But he needs help. He needs his coaches to help him, not hurt him. And to Varn's point, that's exactly what Raheem and Zach are doing right now. What was that call on fourth down? Like, in what planet do you make that decision, man? You throw a pass to the sideline that Drake is obviously going to have their best corner on him one-on-one, and you just leave it up to chance on a fourth and one on a critical point in the game like that? Like, who does that, man? You have Algier and Bijan. Put them both on the field, fake it to one, give it to the other one, and get a damn yard. It's not that complicated, folks. It's pretty simple, actually. It's really amazing. It really is. All right, 404-726-0929. Now let's hear Michael Penix Jr. in the locker room with Dave Archer after the game. This is exclusive of the Falcons Radio Network.
This one didn't go you guys' way tonight. A lot of things you can learn from, Michael. Tell me about it.
Yeah, for sure. For like big key moments, man, just we got to capitalize and we got to make sure that we take advantage of the opportunities that we get. Feel like the defense played a great game. We got to match that.
You guys did a good job of getting yourselves back in the game, especially that opening drive of the second half. Walk me through that. You guys get the good kickoff return, kind of give you some momentum.
Yeah, for sure. That was big. You know, coming out of the half, you know, having Jamal Agnew bust out that big kick return, that was big for us. Obviously, it gave us momentum to score, like you just said. So it's definitely good that we was able to start off fast coming out the half.
All right. As you look forward, what are some of the things that you take from this game that there's some good things in the game? There's always stuff you learn.
Yeah, for sure. I do feel like we got to go to the drawing board. You know, see what things that we feel like we could do better at. But you know, from a standpoint of what I feel right now, you know, I feel like we just got to find ways to score, put points on the board. That's all it is, and that comes to execution, because I feel like we got great talent, amazing talent all across the board. So I don't feel like anybody should stop us from putting up points on the board. So we got to find a way to do that.
Looked like they had some success with their pressure looks. You know as well as I do, this is a copycat league. So you're going to see it from Miami or whoever. Is that something you guys think you can get fixed?
Yeah, no, we'll fix it. Mm-hmm. We're not worried about it. We're definitely going to fix it.
All right, tell me about the connection with Pitts. I'll let you get out of here. Kyle, you and Kyle really had a nice chemistry going this evening.
Yeah, for sure. He had a great week. You know, he's been stacking weeks on top of weeks. So we challenged him this week. You know, it was a lot of, you know, back and forth going on and a lot of competition, you know, that was going on in practice this weekend. You know, he rose to the occasion and he told me, I'm going to have a big game. And, you know, he felt good this weekend. I felt good with him and how he practiced. And, you know, obviously it showed today.
All right, my man, go get at it again.
All right, thank you.
Listen, I love the confidence. I love the bravado. I love backing up his teammates. But at the end of the day, it's a results-oriented business. And there have been a couple of games this season where it has just looked absolutely ugly. 404-726-0929. Let's continue to hear from our guys after the game. Caden Ellis, let's hear what happened on defense as he spoke with Arch.
It's a pretty physical football game, it looked like. They tried to come downhill at you guys. They had some success running the ball.
Yeah, you know, props to them. They came out and they played hard today. We weren't able to get enough stops, and it is what it is.
Yeah, did they show you anything different? Did you kind of expect that this was what they're going to try to do to you?
We expected that. We expected, you know, they're not going to run the same play over and over again, but they're going to mix it up. That being said, they're going to come downhill. And they were. We knew that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to play physical, and, you know, they got us today.
How much of it, when you're struggling on one side of the ball, how much do you feel maybe that onus of you need to swell up on the defensive side? It's not like they ran completely through you, but they did enough. How much does that kind of relate?
Yeah, you know, you know, great teams, I think, you know, they talk about complementary football. I think great teams just got each other's back all the time, you know. You just always got your brother's back, and there's always confidence out there. You know, I think this game, kind of fourth down, it kind of came to that. Yeah. And, you know, if we get that fourth down, maybe things change. At the same time, you look at the defense, it's like, all right, they didn't. Let's go get a stop and give it right back to them, and we didn't do that. So, you know, is what it is. Tough. We'll learn from it, and we'll bounce back.
JD came in the game. Devine got hurt, hurt his arm, wasn't able to come back. It looked like he got up to speed pretty quickly. I know you got a lot of great confidence in JD. Mm-hmm. It hurt you a little bit with Devine not in the game?
You know, Devine's such a great player. To not have him out there is always, you know, not what you want. It is what it is. He'll heal up fast. JD, we got all the confidence in the world. He's such a smart player, such a physical player, and a very good player. So he did great things for us last year. Played well today, and obviously we'll go see the film, but I know he'll play well in Devine's absence.
You're one of the great leaders on this football team. Got a big game next week. It's early in the season. Got a team that's coming in struggling a little bit. It's not about them. It's about you guys. How do you get your mind right?
Let's just get back to work. We're good. Never too high, never too low. Let's bounce back.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Thanks. Yeah. Again, he's saying all the right things, and he is a leader. He's been one of the best players on the team since he's gotten here to Atlanta a couple of years ago. But, again, results. I know Arch was, you know, talking about the game and what happened, but, you know, I kind of disagree a little bit. I do feel like they got whatever they wanted, but it was all McCaffrey. Like, he literally single-handedly, again, won you this football game. All right, before we get out of here, let's play Raheem Morris. He did meet with Dave Archer in the Falcons locker room after the game.
Catch up with our head football coach, Raheem Morris, now. And Raheem, when you look at it, when you look at the game, what kind of sticks out to you, the way this didn't work out the way you wanted it to?
You know, we made mistakes from a coaching standpoint. We made mistakes from a playing standpoint. We got to go fix those things. Those things can't happen. You know, you play in these type of big-time games, you play these type of big-time opponents, you got to come prepared and you got to be ready to deal.
Their ability to run the ball in the middle was glaring, and what do you do with that?
This is a big-time time of possession game team, and we got to be better than what we were tonight in the run. We got to go out there and we got to stop them. We got to be able to get off the grass, and we got to make sure we do the right things, and we didn't do that tonight.
You did a great opportunity. You get it late in the football game. You're driving the ball, and you get to fourth and about a foot. Decide to throw the football out of the gun. Is that something that one of those things you'll reevaluate as you look at the thing?
We want to be aggressive there. Go out and get the first down, throw it to our best player in Drake. Didn't have it work out for us, and that thing didn't work out for us that time.
When you look at what they did from a pass game standpoint, once again, you guys were able to stand up. You were able to get some pressure on the quarterback. He skated out on you a couple of times.
Yeah, not good enough. You know, we got to do a better job. We got to keep him in the pocket. We got to limit these guys. We got to get off when we have an opportunity to, and we got to do a better job coaching.
Okay, man. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Here's the problem. Nobody trusts this team right now. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't trust this team because of the display that they've shown you through the first six games. They are exactly, to quote the Bill Parcells saying, what their record says they are. They are a mediocre, bang average team at 3-3. They've put together some good days, and they've put together some really not so good days. And today was a very, very not so good day. Appreciate everybody who checked in at 404-726-0929. These ones are not fun, and we've had a couple of these already in the young season with Carolina and now this. And again, if you missed it at the beginning of the show, unfortunately, we talked about this. We talked about how in years past, this was the exact type of game that the Atlanta Falcons go in and they stub their toe. And I was trying to plead with everybody, to all the naysayers out there who were telling me, Turtle, this is, hold on, slow your roll, big fella. And I was like, no, but the defense, y'all, the defense, this is different. Nope. Same old Falcons. Well, hopefully next Sunday when I join you after a 1 o'clock start, we'll be talking about a win over a terrible team who might be firing their coach in the middle of the week, and you never know how that goes. And I would say, hey, you might have an advantage with them not having Tyreek Hill, their best player. Well, we saw how much that didn't matter tonight with Fred Warner and Nick Bosa out for the 49ers on defense. That'll do it for this edition of the Falcons Flyover. Appreciate my producer, Sonny. Appreciate everybody who checked in. And I will talk to you guys on Tuesday for Chris Thomas tonight, right here on 92.9 The Game.